This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, it's Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Shamila Ganesan. Tonight, the surprise announcement that the emergency ordinances have actually been cancelled for the last 5 days, we find out more.
First, what does this actually mean and what impact does it have? Then we explore the political fallout from this. And lastly, how might this change the government's COVID-19 strategy?
So tell us, how do you feel about the emergency ordinances being revoked without having it discussed in Parliament? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08, and as promised, we're talking about the emergency ordinances, or rather the emergency ordinances that are no more and have been no more for close to a week now. We just didn't know. So if you missed it, you can catch up on Popit Popit Parliament. Our podcast will be available. There was a lot of yelling and a lot of back and forth today in the first sitting, the first day of the sitting, of the special sitting, about whether or not they were going to get to discuss, debate, vote on things like the emergency ordinances. And then, kind of almost out of nowhere, de facto law minister Datuk Sri Thakurin Hassan was like, no, actually it turns out that Putrajaya has cancelled all the emergency ordinances that were put forward this year, and that in fact we're discussing it now, but we really don't have to because it's been cancelled for 5 days, you guys. It took effect on July 21st, which was when the last cabinet meeting was held.
Don't you love it when that thing that you thought might happen had already happened and you had no idea? I mean, isn't that something we face all the time? Because I'm sure that's what the MPs in Parliament were feeling. And I mean, that's really the response that we were getting from most of them, particularly in the opposition, right? The some opposition MPs said that based on Article 153, Parliament is required for emergency ordinances to be revoked. And Parliament literally sat today. In fact, we had been told for a couple of weeks now that the emergency ordinances will be the thing, the main thing being discussed during this five-day sitting. MP Gobind Singh Deo, for instance, pointed out that a proclamation of emergency and any ordinances promulgated under 2B has to be laid before the House. However, Dewan Rakyat Speaker Dato' Azhar Zizan Aharun accepted Thakurdin's statement and said that Article 153 did not apply. In fact, the Speaker said that Article 153 states that unless revoked earlier, it can be annulled by both houses.
Yeah, and the minister also came with receipts, right? Essentially saying that, yes, it was in fact revoked earlier, and that Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin has received consent from the Yang di-Pertuan Agong to convene a special Dewan Rakyat sitting. All of which to say that the thing that we've been told was going to be the main focus of this parliamentary sitting is moot and was never really going to be discussed because it was already cancelled. And I think that this opens up the same questions that the emergency has opened up from the very beginning, from when it was first declared, which was this worry about oversight, about transparency and accountability, and about the opacity that exists when it comes to policy making, because of course the emergency allows the government of the day to do a certain number of things, right? Without having Parliament in session, and therefore without having the usual processes of having it tabled, having it voted on, having it gazetted. And when you see something like this, in which the emergency ordinances essentially existed and no longer do, without ever having been discussed in Parliament, it tells you, I think, the issue here of not having Parliament in session. In a way, it proves the point.
Yes, and I actually do feel for these MPs, you know. They've now been forced to debate. So the opposition MPs have almost unequivocally been very critical of the emergency in the first place. But now they find themselves in the position of not opposing the emergency, but questioning how it could be revoked without going through the proper processes. And that's a really odd and puzzling position to put anything in, and really calls into question exactly those things, the due process of passing these things, the role of Parliament and so on. And I think it's not surprising coming on the wake of a whole lot of political turmoil, right? In fact, as we spoke about earlier, UMNO has said that all of their ministers in their party would resign if the emergency ordinances were not revoked before the 1st of August. So now it brings about this question of really what now?
What now and how come? Mm. So it's both those things, right? On the one hand, the government may not have wanted to table a vote so early. And, you know, there was this whole thing about whether or not a vote would even be there. So now that's no longer going to be debated. And also with UMNO, I think the thing is that it's a series of incidents with curious timing, right? Because it's not the first time in recent months that they've made a direct threat and then had whatever it is that they had been asking for sort of granted with no connection made in the granting. There is no mention of course, it is because of this threat that we are now acquiescing. Instead, it's a, oh, hey, this is just happening and it's independent. But it's happened a lot is the point that we're making. So we have mentioned Article 150 so many times this year because of the emergency. We're going to dive back in one more time just to find out exactly where this leaves us legally, right, in terms of the ordinances being revoked and what it actually means. And starting off, we are going to just be examining that with lawyer Newsin Yu, who'll be joining us after this. The politics can wait. But we want to know, how do you feel about the emergency ordinances being revoked without discussing it in Parliament? That number to call is 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio and keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bombing frustrated minds, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:16 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about the emergency ordinances, or rather the emergency ordinances that are no more because they've been cancelled for 5 days. This was announced in today's parliamentary special sitting, when there was a back and forth about whether or not they were going to be debated, what motions were going to be discussed. And the law minister said, well, actually, the emergency ordinances have been cancelled since July 21st. So we wanted to find out, I guess, the legality of it, or what the law says about all this. In the meantime, though, let us know, how do you feel about the emergency ordinances being revoked without discussion in Parliament? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is lawyer Newsin Yu. Sin Yu, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Today, of course, as we just mentioned, the law minister, Taqiyuddin Hassan, announced that the emergency ordinances were revoked on the 21st of July. Can we start off with what it actually means to revoke an ordinance, an emergency ordinance?
So let me start off from first principles. There's three ways an emergency can end. The first way is if it is revoked. The second is if it is annulled by Parliament. And the third is when it lapses 6 months from the end of the proclamation of emergency. So an ordinance can only be revoked by the Yang Diputuan Agong, acting on advice of the Prime Minister and the Cabinet, which is what the Law Minister claimed happened in this case. We haven't seen any gazette to that effect. An ordinance can also be annulled by Parliament by way of resolution. So when Parliament votes to annul the ordinance, that ordinance ceases to have effect. For a revocation and annulment, the effect is immediate. The ordinance will not have any more effect from the date of revocation or annulment. And if the proclamation of emergency ends, all ordinances passed under the emergency will cease to have effect 6 months from the end of the proclamation of emergency. So it's a delayed effect.
So this unsurprisingly prompted an uproar in Parliament from the opposition, with Puchong MP Gobind Singh Dio saying that the decision as to whether to extend or to end the emergency should have been made by Parliament. I know you addressed this earlier, but what do the laws say about this particular statement he made?
Well, he's right, because Parliament is now sitting. And Article 150 sub 3 requires the emergency and the ordinances to be laid before Parliament. And voting should take place to either approve or annul the emergency. However, there is an exception to this. A proclamation of emergency and the ordinance need not be laid before Parliament. If it is sooner revoked, that means it is revoked before Parliament sits. So Parliament cannot vote to approve or annul the emergency, which is what Taqiyuddin didn't seem to have done in this case. Of course, this power of revocation, it is no longer with the government if Parliament sits. So once Parliament sits, the government cannot say, I'm revoking the emergency, I'm revoking the ordinances. The proper authority to do that is Parliament, and only Parliament can decide whether or not to keep it or to annul it.
And considering the fact that this was cancelled 5 days ago, is there any obligation for the government to inform the rest of Parliament or the public for that matter?
No. Here's the thing. The statement by the Law Minister that it has been cancelled, to put it politely, it's at best questionable. We have not seen any gazette on the revocation. So what would have happened had it gone through the proper procedure that once Parliament sits is that it needs to be tabled before Parliament as a motion, which it isn't. And it needs to be tabled as a motion so that Parliament can vote on it. And if Parliament votes on it, there's a likelihood that Parliament will not approve of the ordinances or even emergency. So that is a damning verdict on the Prime Minister and the government. In declaring the emergency and passing these ordinances, there is no legitimacy in government's action in respect of these matters. And let's not forget that these are obviously very major resolutions that is going to be tabled before Dewan Rakyat, and by convention, it would amount to a test of confidence on the Prime Minister and the Cabinet. So losing this major resolution would be politically devastating, and by convention, the Prime Minister should resign if he loses such a major resolution.
Now, what are some of the possible reasons why the revocation hasn't been gazetted, and what would happen if it isn't gazetted before the 1st of August?
Well, one possible reason for this is because it hasn't happened yet. It hasn't actually been revoked. That's probably a premature statement even a misleading statement by the Law Minister. Any revocation is in effect a subsidiary legislation, and it must be gazetted for it to take effect. It will only take effect and come into operation from the date of the publication in the Gazette, and we have checked the Gazette. There hasn't been any. So until these are done, it cannot be said that there has been revocation. So sorry to, pour cold water everyone's high hopes.
So with that said then, and considering we sort of live in this, I don't know, it's almost a halfway house at the moment, it feels like. Does that mean that the emergency ordinances are still in effect at this point in time until the gazettement actually goes through? And, if that's the case, the laws under them would still technically apply or do still technically apply?
Well, I think that it is at best a statement of intent by the Law Minister. As far as the law is concerned, I think that the ordinances are still there. It's still in effect. Because what is supposed to happen is that the revocation, it must be signed by the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong. It was the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong who promulgated these ordinances. So it should be the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong that revokes it. Of course, the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong acts on advice of the cabinet, but it still needs to be presented to His Majesty to actually act on it. And Cabinet cannot act unilaterally, issuing a statement and bypass the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong. It doesn't work that way.
So procedures aside then, what impact does cancelling the emergency ordinances have?
Well, firstly, the government will not be able to do as it pleases anymore. All these draconian powers, such as suspending Parliament, suspending elections, withdrawing from the consolidated funds, its government's private piggy bank without going through Parliament, the anti-fake news ordinance, all this won't have effect anymore. And it will be gone with the revocation. But, as I said, the revocation didn't actually happen. And the second thing is that the government actually sidestepped this test of confidence that would have occurred had it been tabled before Parliament.
So, all this while, right, there hasn't been a lot of clarity about how much debate would be permitted, or even, you know, whether votes would be occurring, because I guess the out here is that this is a special sitting of Parliament, that that's kind of been the back and forth. So if, as you say, there now needs to be a tabling, there now needs to be a vote, what can we expect to happen next after this statement of intent?
I think that goes back to the original outrage, if I can put it that way, of what this Parliament sitting is for and the agenda that is on it. There hasn't been any motion that is tabled. There is only statements by minister for all 5 days of sittings. And this is bad because Parliament, you know, it exercises supervisory function over the government. And under Article 1503, that needs to be oversight by Parliament over this emergency. And if there is no voting at the sitting, Parliament cannot decide if the emergency should remain in force or be revoked. And it's very troubling because this is probably the first time in our history that the government is actually circumventing parliamentary scrutiny safeguards under Article 150. In 1964, Tunku Abdul Rahman moved a motion to seek Parliament support for the emergency call in the wake of Konfrontasi with Indonesia. In 1966, Tun Abdul Razak moved a bill on the emergency in Sarawak to test parliamentary support of the same. And also in 1977, when Tun Hussein On done the same on the Kelantan emergency. So the government's refusal and neglect to allow parliament to vote on the emergency, it effectively frustrates the parliament's constitutional duty under Article 150. So it's troubling.
So we have a question related to that, actually, from a listener. Zuyin wants to know, looking at how the government has tried to revoke the EO now, it seems to suggest that this is a political move to avoid the vote during the parliament sessions. And 5 days later, when parliament ends, with the possible 20,000 daily cases that we're currently projecting, is it possible that the emergency ordinances might be imposed once again?
Oh, you can't. Because once parliament sits again, any ordinance or any laws that would give government such powers, it needs to come from parliament. You can only promulgate ordinances when parliament is not in session. And that's why, if we recall back in January this year, everyone was angry because parliament sittings have been suspended. And there's a good reason why it's being suspended. It's being suspended because Parliament cannot be in session and government can just pass laws as they please. But now Parliament is in session, it can't do it anymore.
So, Sinyu, I mean, accepting this moment that we're talking about, in terms of legislation, are you expecting anything else major to happen during the sitting?
Oh, no. All I expect is, you know, arguments for the next 4 days, 5 days. And everyone screaming at each other. No, but to answer the question seriously, there is nothing on the agenda on legislation. So let's enjoy the show or the circus, as we want to call it.
Fair enough, Sinyu. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
That was lawyer Niu Sinyu talking to us about the government's announcement in Parliament today that the emergency ordinances have been revoked. I think as Sinyu explained there, it is more an announcement than it is necessarily an announcement of intent almost than it is necessarily a declaration that it is ongoing. So we want to know what you think or how you feel about this statement that the emergency ordinances were revoked without discussing it in Parliament and how this might go forward, because it seems that there's a ways to go yet. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 6:38 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about the announcement from Law Minister Taqiyuddin Hassan that the emergency ordinances have, in his word, in essence, has been revoked. But we heard earlier from our guest, Lawyer Newsin Yu, that this isn't necessarily the case. It hasn't been tabled as a motion in Parliament. It hasn't been voted on. So we're untangling that. But we also want to know, how do you feel about this announcement, considering that it doesn't seem to have gone through due process? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, of course, this is not happening in isolation. This is happening against a backdrop of a whole bunch of political maneuverings and announcements, not least of which was UMNO saying that if the emergency ordinances remained in effect beyond the 1st of August, that ministers of their party would resign en masse. And so we wanted to look at the political ramifications of this. Now joining us to do this is Professor Dr. Shamsul Amri Baharuddin, Director at the Institute of Ethnic Studies at UKM. Prof, thanks for speaking with us.
How are you?
Okay, how are you?
Thank you very much for the invitation. Yeah.
So what did you think of today's Parliament session?
Well, for me, it's an anti-climax for two reasons. Number one, I was expecting a really fiery debate on the ordinance, and that's what Agung wanted the parliament to do. But apparently they beat the gun. Yeah, whether it's legal or not, there are many debates now on online and also on the media, electronic media, that this article, and I'm caught in all this crisscrossing articles why it should and shouldn't be. So the debate now shifted into the area where should we, is it legal what is being done? Is that Agung knows this? Why do you make this announcement? But I do know cabinet minutes cannot be exposed to the public. So it was made by the cabinet. And the role of the cabinet is to advise the Agung, not the parliament. The parliament doesn't advise the Agung. I think the cabinet advised Agung what to do, what is best for the nation. So now I suppose they may have done it, we don't know, but definitely in parliament, everyone is coming, you know, into the parliament up in arms about the emergency and all. As you say, you know, we have been, you know, inundated by this debate either in the social media or not. So, number two, I find that the eventual debate, I mean, looking at Tun Mahathir speaking and claiming that I'm a failed prime minister twice, so why shouldn't the present prime minister also resign? Well, I don't want to take that too far, because I think there are for various reasons why he resigned and why he accepted. But I think there was no pandemic during his resignation. So it's quite irrelevant what he said, but it's fun to listen a confession by a prime minister, ex-prime minister, publicly. I mean, it's quite, in a way, it's hilarious, but in a way, it's quite sad, because everyone is expecting a lot more fireworks, you know, in the parliament. Even though there are name-calling, and, you know, lap dogs, and all these terminologies are being used, but I think it's not enough to cause heart attack, you know, this debate. It may cause a lot of smile, but not heart attack. So I think that's basically what the public also feels after I got messages from my friends. You know, Shamsul, you should go there and start debating with them. No, I'm not a member of parliament. I said, I can't do that. But it's interesting.
Prof, how significant is it that these ordinances weren't debated and voted on?
Well, I think number one, it was supposed to be debated because they involve a lot of budget matters, rules and regulation. Like, you know, you get 1,000 summon for not wearing your, you know, not wearing your mask. So now it seems that after 21, if you are caught and they summon you or they fine you, it's not legal anymore, because the thing has been terminated on the 21st. So there are some very straightforward ramifications. Okay, very straightforward. It means rules are not applied, so we get away with all those things. But the question is, the more deeper question that I would ask is, why need this this particular scheme? Is it a scheme to escape no confidence motion and all this stuff? So it has been raised by ex-Prime Minister Najib about this in his social media. What are they scared of, you know, backing up like this? But I think in the end, I'm happy that emergency is over. So there is no pretension that COVID or no COVID, because the COVID seems to be increasing. COVID has been talking to emergency, emergency has been talking to COVID, if I put it that way. And COVID say, you lost lah, you know. You put me under emergency, put me inside a room, I still go out and affect now more than 1 million people. So I think in some ways, it was, I don't know whether it's a way of government trying to really, you know, like, for example, to stop at something. Like, you cannot freeze a moment in history just because you want to catch the disease, you know. You can't. I mean, emergency for me is a bit like, okay, everything stop. Let's see what the what COVID is trying to do to us. Well, it's been proven you have emergency or otherwise, and every country in the world has imposed emergency. Australia, New Zealand, and everywhere. In Australia, one state imposes, Victoria imposes emergency. The other, New South Wales, didn't. So all these are happening. So in our case, I think they have tried as a cure. Of sort of possibility to help as a relief. So the real relief is the increased number of vaccination. Don't trust the 11 million figure, because it's only 5 million or 4 million has been vaccinated twice. The rest are all once. And we haven't talked about the impact of one vaccination and whether you can get COVID or not. We have talked about two also again can get COVID. So all these details, at the same time, the number of people affected and the number are getting higher and higher. So there are a lot of issues at the bottom, irrespective whether or not emergency, in the way we handle this, it needs to be looked at a little bit more detailed, because all this plan that we have, you know, plan pemulihan, the recovery plan, we are famous for 5-year plan in Malaysia. You know, every 5 years we have a plan, and in between we have review, midterm review. This plan cannot be reviewed because it's just beginning. So what the plan did was to put together many things under one umbrella, because different. It was basically trying to create coordination, a smoother coordination. You know what red tape is, so smoother coordination, because it's solely, or I would say 90% is done by the government, whether state or federal. So it's not involving the community very much. It doesn't involve the private sector, because the government is providing the money and rule of the game, so to speak. So in some ways, we are hoping by the end of August, with or without emergency, a certain level of reaching herd immunity will be achieved in the country.
So UMNO had earlier claimed that its ministers, deputy ministers, head of GLCs would all relinquish their positions if the emergency ordinances remain past the 1st of August. How much weight does the statement carry, do you think?
Well, I can't take UMNO seriously. They're threatening everybody. I mean, I'm sorry, I have a lot of friends there. I think, in fact, there was a letter from Attorney General saying that the declaration by UMNO pulling out doesn't affect the Pakatan Nasional, because they're not even a member of Pakatan Nasional. A member of Pakatan Nasional is Barisan Nasional, not UMNO. I mean, all these little tricks that have been played in front of us, I mean, I don't think they are smart to think that we are not smart, you know? So I don't think this is really would do anything except give a lot more air time for UMNO.
Why does UMNO want the emergency ordinances to be lifted? I mean, how would the party benefit from this?
Well, I think basically what they've been trying to do is there are things that you cannot do during emergency time, like having a big meeting and all this stuff. So now the only thing that is stopping them to do all those campaigns, because they want to have an election. And one of the reasons why emergency was introduced after Sabah election, suddenly the spike of COVID. But I'm not wanting to have elections. Sarawak wants to have elections. So elections seem to be a problem that we have, you know, that will make the spread of the disease easier because of people are not observing all the SOPs. So I think what UMNO is trying to do is trying to gain ground and win support by having election. I'm not quite sure whether election will help them. Election could be a decisive factor of their existence in the future. So they don't think of that, you know. But I think there are a lot of people who think that. See, now it's not like before 2018. So everything is on the table. It's open. No dominant party. That's very important in Malaysian politics. In Malaysian politics, it was always adversarial. Yeah, whether you are now with UMNO, without UMNO, whether you are Semangat 46 with Tengku Razali living, joining PAS, the storyline is still adversarial. We are, I wouldn't say enemies, but we are in the opposition. You know, we are opposing whatever we do. Now, during the Barisan Nasional time, there was dominant party. So a lot of smaller party would join the dominant party like a magnet, you know. But now there's no such thing. There's no dominant party. So there's nobody who can say that, oh, this is the best for us. Because the other not so dominant party will say, oh, this is not good. It should be like this. So we are looking at two very weak sides which has no dominant power. And I think people realize that. And I hope they realize that they're trying to do a boxing. They are not even, if they go to Olympics, they are not going even to the preliminary round. Yeah, they can't even win, let alone the medal. You know? So this is how I see.
Prof, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Most, my pleasure. Thank you.
That was Professor Dr. Shamsul Amri Baharudin, Director at the Institute of Ethnic Studies at UKM, talking to us about the political ramifications of the announcement that came from Law Minister Taqiyuddin Hassan about the emergency ordinances today. After this, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Kelvin Yee, MP for Bandar Kuching, about what it was like being in session and also what this announcement might hold in terms of the fight against the pandemic. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:53 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We have spent our whole show looking at the announcement from Law Minister Taqiyuddin Hassan that the emergency ordinances have, in his view, been revoked. We've talked about where this stands legally. We've talked about what this might mean politically. And now we want to look at what was supposedly the main reason why the ordinances were put forward, which was to help battle the pandemic and what it might mean if they go away and whether that would result in a change in strategy. So keep those thoughts coming. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we're now crossing over to Dr. Kelvin Yee, Chairman of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Health, Science and Innovation, MP for Bandar Kuching. Dr. Kelvin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me again.
Okay, so what was it like to be back in Parliament? Talk to us about how today was. We heard a little bit, a lot of shouting.
Yeah, I'm sure you heard more than a little bit. I'm sure you heard the loud noises as well as the commotion that was created in Parliament. I mean, to be honest, it was good being back in Parliament. However, I, of course, regret the manner that it was run in a lot of instances and how it was difficult for us to obtain important and pertinent answers, especially from the Prime Minister, who did not turn up to answer our questions at the rounding up. So that was really disappointing.
And how have the emergency ordinances help the battle? I'm sort of trying to, I think, process this for myself as well. Have the emergency ordinances helped with the battle against COVID-19 in this country? What sorts of resources did it make available for the government?
I think the data and facts speaks for itself. How the state of emergency implemented at the beginning of the year has failed to curb the spread of COVID-19 in Malaysia. We have seen the number of cases increase, death rates surge up, ICU beds are filled up, healthcare system at a brim, especially in Klang Valley, healthcare workers facing burnout. And then today itself, we saw, I mean, mean, not focus on absolute cases, but today we see 207 deaths, an increase of 39 in ICU, 23 intubated. This is the highest death, highest ICU, and this is worrying. Of course, in theory, emergency powers does give the government, certain overreaching powers to do different things. And it may be used for good benefits if it's properly used, like, for example, compel the private sector and facilities to rope them in a fight, which they actually did on a voluntary basis. They could use the emergency powers to amend certain laws which are important in our fight. I mean, for example, amend Section 309, the Penal Code, to decriminalize attempts at suicide during this time, gather huge resources to invest and increase the capacity of our healthcare system. However, as we've seen, this was not done.
So without the emergency ordinances, then, might there be changes in the government's healthcare strategy in fighting the pandemic, or might we see anything change?
To be honest, I don't see how it would change. I mean, as I said, fair to matter, the main reason to justify the emergency on the health side was to rope in the private sector. But that could have been done, and it is done right now through proper engagements, negotiations, and understanding. And we have seen how the private sector has been involved in not just treating especially non-COVID patients, but also involved in the whole vaccination plan. Fact of the matter, it's Act 342, the Prevention and Control of Infectious Disease Act, already give necessary powers to the government to adhere to all fundamentals of infectious disease control, which is the mantra that we always repeat, FTTIS, of course, now plus vaccination, and you don't need an emergency for that.
Now, the revocation of the emergency hasn't been gazetted yet. What are the most pressing issues that you think need to be discussed and decided on before that happens?
Again, of course, there has to be continuous understanding with the private sector, as I said, and of course, the whole health ecosystem. One of the reasons why I think we give credit where it's due, one of the good things that's happening now is the vaccination rate is going at a very encouraging rate. And one of the main factors is because the private sectors are more involved and engaged right now. So that has to continue, and we have to set a continuous understanding, and even more important, maybe set a clear SOP for future cooperation and collaboration in case of future waves or even future pandemics. And I think even right now, maybe we have to find ways to increase the state capacity of healthcare facilities. We need to increase the capacity for FTTIS and, of course, infrastructure and human resource. But either way, I think the cancellation of emergency is not an excuse for all this not to be done. I mean, it can be done without an emergency. But I think one question that I'm very curious what happens is all the compounds that were taken after 21st July, especially when it comes to SOP infringements. So what happens after that? I think the government has to answer this. And right after now, what happens? Because Act 242 sets at 1,000. So this is a question the government has to answer.
Kelvin, we just have 30 seconds left with you, really. What do you hope to see from the pandemic response moving forward? Are there specific gaps you're hoping to see filled?
I think the current government strategy seems to be putting a lot of eggs in the vaccination basket, which I acknowledge is an important, but we cannot discount the need for other fundamental public health measures. Again, FTTIS, it has to be promoted, especially areas outside of Klang Valley, to curb any spread of outbreaks. So this is the missing arm of strategy. They have to focus on it, engage more, get everybody involved, and listen to experts and base decisions on science and facts. So I hope that summarizes it.
Kelvin, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care.
You too. That was Dr. Kelvin Yee, Chairman of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Health, Science and Innovation, as well as MP for Bandar Kuching, weighing in on how the emergency ordinances have or have not really kind of aided the battle against the pandemic. We've been talking about that, of course, as the emergency ordinances have been announced to be lifted. It's uncertain what exactly that means. We're kind of in a limbo. Keep those thoughts coming and keep it here. We'll be back for your messages after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.